Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 4. John chapter 4. It says in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. May God bless the reading of his word. We just want to share here on the true worshippers. As here the scripture says, God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we want to speak on the true worshippers. You know, God calls his own. Like, you know, Jesus, when he was standing before Pilate, when he was asked, are you a king? He says, you have said that I'm king. For that purpose I was born, that I may bear witness to the truth. So you see, when Jesus came, he came to bear witness. If you are a true worshipper, that is the purpose why Jesus came, to bear witness. Now, witness, like being in a court case, if a witness is called upon to give witness, it is for the confirmation of the conviction or the acquittal of the accused. So, a witness is not somebody who says, I heard or somebody saying this, or I was told this man did this and this. You cannot be a witness if you were not right there. That's why even God, when somebody did something that was worthy of death, the law of Moses said it must be in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And it is the witness who cast the first stone. So, though there may come another 100 stones, or another 40 stones, they are only following the first stone which was thrown by the witness as a confirmation, a true confirmation that this man did that which is worth of death. So, about worshippers, you know, in chapter 4, Jesus is talking of the true worshippers that must worship God. The preceding chapter, chapter 3, that's when Nicodemus came and said to him, you are a man sent from God. And then Jesus told him, it's not about a man sent from God, but it's about the new birth. So, the new birth, which Jesus was telling to Nicodemus, is something that, you know, when you are born, you know, it's you who has been born. It's an experience. Nobody can be born in your stead. It's you. So it's a personal experience. And nobody can take that experience. It is you. So, it's not something you heard about. You see, we are all here. At one time, or on a certain date, you were born. So, that is the truth. You cannot explain it any further than your being here as a confirmation of that birth. So, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, it's not about a teaching. It's not about a doctrine. but it's about reality. Then he comes to chapter 4, he tells this woman, it's not about the mountain, it's not about Jerusalem, it's not about being a Samaritan, neither a Jew. But those who worship the Father must worship in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Then the woman said, oh, okay, we know one thing. When the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. So here is the woman coming to Jesus with a, I'll say, a doctrine they were holding on to, that one day the Messiah will come. It was a teaching. It was a promise. But then Jesus stood before her and said, I am that Messiah. I am that which was spoken about, pointed to, expected. I am the reality of that promise. So, now, that's how I want to see this word, truth. To be a truthful worshipper is not just because I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's true. That is the true baptism. But there is something that it can be something spoken or something done in truth. When somebody is baptized, as we know, there is only one baptism. If somebody is baptized, that is the true religion. He must be baptized. If somebody is baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the true baptism. But this is not one to look at. Something can be done which is true, but there is something that is more than that. Just some a thing being done. That's why when we see in the corridors of those who walked and worshipped God, we see how they manifested their lives were the manifestation of that which was in them. They were not just motivated by a truth being spoken. They were not motivated by a gospel just being preached. But they were in oneness with that which was spoken as an expression of the reality of what God was speaking, be it through the prophets or those men upon whom his spirit fell. Now, we just want to maybe start with Abraham and see what was Abraham's way of worship. Because when we even look back at the beginning, when Abel and Cain came to worship, Cain did not come to worship an idol. He did not come to sacrifice to some imaginary god. He was sacrificing to the God of heaven.
Amen.
The true God. So if we could ask Cain, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm worshipping God. Which God? The creator of heaven and earth. Him who took a cloud of dust and formed Adam. That's the God I'm worshipping. Abel, the Bible says, by faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice.
Amen.
Why was the sacrifice of Abel a more excellent one? It was not just a form of worship, but it was the vindication, the true realization of that which was in the mind of God.
Amen.
When God looked upon the sacrifice of Abel, he could see his mind His will being manifested. And it was not so with Cain. So, when we look at Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, we'll just read verse 6. Genesis 15, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he was counted, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God came to Abraham and told him, it's not Eliezer of Damascus who is going to be your heir, but one who will come out of your loins. Then God did not just speak that and say, now you take that. You take my word for it. Because I have spoken. Even if God cannot change his mind and God cannot lie, yet God brings Abraham out and shows him something that is tangible. He showed him the stars. And he said, so shall your children be. There was nothing amiss if God had just spoken to Abraham and said, you are going to have children. Because that's what he did when he says, let there be the earth, let there be the stars, let there be the sun, let there be the moon. He just spoke and it was. Yet God brought out Abraham and showed him, your children shall be like the stars. If you can count the stars, so shall you be able to count your children. And because of that tangible truth that God has revealed to Abraham, it said Abraham believed God. And when he believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Why did God have to say to Abraham, now you are righteous because you have believed my word? We go to Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we want to read verse 6 again. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, here, the prophet Jeremiah is showing forth who and what God is. If we go back to Abraham, Abraham, to him was imputed righteousness because of his faith. Now, where did that righteousness come from? You can see it was not just a work of Abraham, but it is God. And this God, his name is the Lord our righteousness.
Amen.
So, when Abraham was imputed righteousness, it was not the righteousness of Abraham. It was the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Can you see? So, the righteousness of God cannot come upon me just because I've heard something or I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that. It has got to be God himself.
Amen.
Now, when God does that, it means he has imparted on me something that is true.
Amen.
Brother Branham says in the third churches, he says, truth is not just the opposite of a lie, but the truth is the realization of the true manifestation of something as it is brought into being against an image or a shadow. You see, if I can put my hand against the light, you see my shadow. The shadow of my hand will have five fingers. The shadow of my hand will have one arm. And when you look at it, you can say, this is a human arm. But now, that is not the truth. The truth or the true reality of my arm is when you can see it and hold it, not as shown in the shadow. So those who worship God, worship Him in truth.
Amen.
Not as a shadow.
Amen.
But the true realization of what the shadow is pointing to.
Amen.
You see, it's like this Word of God, you know, we have got the Word of God here in word form, the Bible. We all believe it's the Holy Bible. We believe it is the Word of God. Can you see? But these letters here, anybody can read. But not everybody has got a claim on what is written here. Not everybody is the benefactor of what is written here. So we can say this Word of God, as much as it is correct, as much as it is true, it is only pointing to some reality. So those who worship God, they don't worship Him according to what is written in the Bible. They worship Him in the truth of what is being pointed to by the words in the Bible. So then that is true. So Abraham, when he believed, because the Lord Himself is our righteousness. And Paul puts it explicitly in the first book of Corinthians, it must be chapter 1. If you read the last two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, Jesus Christ, who is our life, our righteousness, our sanctification. Okay, let's just read it. I think we ought to read that one. In verse 30, it says, in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is of God, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, Jesus here, that's why He could tell Nicodemus. He said, don't talk about me being a good man, like the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus and says, a good master. Jesus says, don't call me good. That cannot get you anywhere. Nicodemus says, you are a teacher come from God. Jesus says, that won't get you anywhere. To the woman of Samaria, she says, we worship in the mountain and we drink from the well of Jacob. Jesus says, that won't take you anywhere. You must come to the reality. We are not being called to something that is pointing us to another thing. We are being called to the reality of God Himself.
Amen.
And then here it says, Jesus Christ, He is man by God, that He should be unto us wisdom. Not just to teach us wisdom, but to be that very wisdom in us.
Amen.
And to be the very righteousness of God in us. And to be the very sanctification by the Spirit of God in us.
Amen.
To be the very redemption.
Amen.
Can you see? He is that redemption in us.
Amen.
We don't just read about that redemption. We just don't have faith in some redemption. He is the person of redemption. He is the person of righteousness. He is the reality of God.
Amen.
You cannot go beyond that. He is the Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
When we come to Him, that's why now the Bible says, when we worship, we must worship in truth.
Amen.
Can you see? It's not knowing about a truth. It's not some excellency in doctrine. It's not having a super mind that can catch this and can catch that. That's why even God Himself, He excluded even visions, seeing visions, even prophesying, even speaking in tongues, even preaching. He doesn't say that is the authentication of His truth. Because miracles can be performed, and then on that day Jesus say, I don't know you. Go to where you were doing your works. Can you see? So it is not about knowing something. It's not about doing something. It's about coming into the reality of what God is pointing us to.
Amen.
That's when now we begin to worship God in truth.
Amen.
Amen. Not deriving a message or deriving a doctrine from somewhere, and then we try to practice that doctrine. Good as it may be, that is not truth.
Amen.
Can you see? Because, for instance, Israel, that's why they could not come to the truth of the righteousness of God. Because the Bible says they wanted to attain the righteousness of God through the practice of the law. So if somebody says, the Lord says, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not say anything bad about somebody, you must not curse, you must not do all these things. And then Israel got those things and say, now, because I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that, so I am righteous. The Bible says they could not reach the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Because not stealing, not doing all these things, that is not the righteousness of God. You see? Because a dead man doesn't steal. A dead man doesn't lie. A dead man doesn't curse. But is that, does that give him righteousness? Can he be attained? Can he attain to righteousness because he has not done that? That's not it. Can you see? That's why everybody is a sinner. Amen. Because it does not, it attacks God Himself and His life to be manifested in us. Now, when we come to Abraham, it said of him that God spoke to him. And when God spoke to Abraham, he was given the revelation of the mind that was in God. And he was shown the stars. And then the Bible says, now he had faith. So the faith of Abraham did not come from just a statement. It came from the revelation of the Word of God. You see, as I said, as much as I can read the scriptures, I need something more than just reading. I need the revelation so that I may come to terms and grasp the reality of God. So, the true worshippers are those who come by faith. And we know faith is not a doctrine. Faith is not a teaching. Faith is not an acclimatization. Faith is a revelation.
Amen.
Can you see?
Amen.
And revelation is something that is beyond knowledge.
Amen.
Revelation is something that is beyond what we can acquire. Revelation comes from God.
Amen.
And it is that revelation which comes from the Word of God.
which gives us the truthfulness of God. So when we receive the word of God by revelation, we are not just receiving some written words. We are not just receiving something that was just spoken by God. We are receiving the very mind of God.
Amen.
The very essence of God. Because this God, His name, now a name,
Amen,
tells the character, tells even the gender of a person. When I tell you, or you just hear, John is coming, already you know a man is coming. You cannot say, okay, let's wait, see if this John is going to be a boy or a girl. At least you know. So a name, you know, it describes, it gives you. That's why, you know, in the Bible, it's always said, Isaac, the son of Abraham. Judas, the son of Iscariot. Simon, the son of Jonah. You know, we want to know this Simon, because there are many Simons, but this particularly is the son of Jonah. A name is going to explain and leave somebody without any shadow or without any speculation. Your name tells who you are. That's why, you know, sometimes when we give names to our children, we want to give them, you know, I've been around for quite some time on this Good Earth. I haven't heard somebody called Iscariot. I've heard of one or two called Cain. You know, because as soon as you talk of Judas Iscariot, it's just negative. You don't want to call yourself, your son, Judas Iscariot. You detest. Why? Because we believe a name has got something to do with the life. That's why even God had to change the name of Abraham. Can you see? He could not receive that son with the old name. He had to be given a name that was compatible to the receiving of the son. So the name of God is righteousness. So when Abraham was imputed, it was imparted on him that righteousness, because he had received the very person, the very reality of righteousness.
Amen.
Can you see? It was not something that came to him second hand. It's not something that came to him from another source, then to another source, and then to him. He got it right from the very presence, the very life, the very existence of God Himself.
Amen.
And then it was imputed to him for righteousness. Amen. Amen. So, as much as faith is a revelation, what is that revelation? In 1 Corinthians, now we just want to read chapter 2. We go to verse 7. Because in verse 31 or in verse 30, it says, Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. He is not made to us to be a teacher of wisdom. God has not given us a teacher to teach us wisdom. He gave us Christ, who is our very wisdom. Can you see? Now, verse 6 says, how be it, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Can you see? When we speak of this wisdom, it's not in the context of the world. The world wants some excellency. It wants some, something that can, you know, bring something in its in its superb or in its glorious manner. You see, we know, you know, back home in our country, somebody can sit for an exam, but this exam, he wants to specialize in something, in a particular field, but he cannot do that without passing, say, three subjects. Can you see? And those three subjects, they can say, you must have English, mathematics, and then another subject. So you can take a subject which you just study so that you can pass and have three subjects. But you are majoring on two. So this other, the third one, maybe after 6 months or a year, you are asked or given a test on this subject, you have forgotten everything. Because to you, it was nothing. Can you see? You just wanted it so that you can get a place in the college or at the university. So, that is how the world teaches. You can learn something just for a season, just to go through. But this is not how the Word of God has been taught to us. It's not just for something that is just passing. We have been given the wisdom which comes from God. And this wisdom can only be given to those who are perfect. It's not wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that comes to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So you can see what God is imparting on us cannot be held by something that is only a figure. Because the wisdom that we have, this earthly wisdom, is only a figure of the true wisdom. Like, the image that we have is not the true image, because we were made in the image of God. Can you see? So, we are only an image that is pointing to some reality. So, the wisdom that God imparts upon us, it is this wisdom that is the wisdom of faith. Like Paul says in the book of Ephesians, he says in verse 9, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 9, he says, he revealed to us the mystery of his will. Because we are taught this wisdom, not as the world teaches, not to bring out the excellency of the world, but as it is revealed. It's in a mystery.
Amen.
The wisdom is in a mystery.
Amen.
It's beyond explanation by human tongue. It's beyond acquisition by human ability or human endeavor. We cannot touch it. That's why Israel failed to touch it. They wanted to do it with some humanity in them, some human instrument. It cannot be gotten that way. So true worshippers are those who receive the word of God in that manner to bring out in them that which God desired for them to see. Now, when it is revealed thus, It will now bring into us that life. Because the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith.
Amen.
James says, Paul says, to Abraham it was not of works, but it was by grace and through faith.
Amen.
James says, faith without works is dead. Abraham was justified by works. Rahab the harlot was justified by her works. So where did these works come from? Habakkuk says, the righteous, how do they become righteous? They become righteous by the revelation of faith.
Amen.
Now, when you get the wisdom by revelation of faith, now you can do the works, not your works, but the works of faith.
Amen.
Which come from the revelation that you have got. Now, when now you are doing the works which are a result of the faith that has been revealed to you, then it's no longer you.
Amen.
It's now Christ, and who is Christ? He says, I am the truth.
Amen.
So what is manifested in you is not some human instrumentality, but it is Christ himself.
Amen.
Now in you, doing what he purposed from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, because Abraham, to him was revealed, when he saw the stars, and God says, that's how your children are going to be. We come to chapter 4 of the book of Romans. Paul now tells us this Abraham. He says, Abraham, because he had faith, which came to him by the revelation through the word of God, he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, neither the deadness of his own body, but against hope, he believed in hope. So anything and everything that was contrary to the revelation that he had was not even there, as far as Abraham is concerned.
Amen.
He does not go after what may be his feeling. He's not going by his experience. Can you see?
Amen.
Sometimes that's where we go wrong.
Yes.
We go by our experience. As much as experience is good, but it may not always be so. When a child is born, it cries. When it cries, it gets the attention. It's fed, it's clothed, it's washed. And whenever a child needs anything, it must cry. When it's hungry, it cries. When it's feeling hot, it cries. When it's feeling cold, it cries. When it wants to go to sleep, the mother actually knows. This cry, the baby says, I want to go to sleep. And she knows how to handle the situation until the baby goes off to sleep. The mother knows. Why the baby is crying, it's feeling hot. It just takes the baby, puts it in water, bathes it, and the baby goes to sleep. It's quiet. So crying is a very good thing. Now let's take this baby now, he's 21 years old, and he's hungry. He's like, he wants to go to sleep. Would that be acceptable? But he can tell you, this word, that's why I was fed. That's why I was bathed. That's why I was taken care of, because I was crying. So it's an experience, but we don't always lean on our experiences.
Amen.
Sometimes God does something to us, and then we think we can boast, because God did this to me. Yes, in our ignorance, God can do things. But it doesn't mean that is his perfect will. It doesn't mean that's what he wants you to be. Can you see? He can accept you. He accepted Israel upon the basis of the law. He accepted Israel on the shed blood of the lamb. But is that his perfect will? It's not so. Can you see? So there are things that we pass. So experience in itself is not as much as it is good, but it's not an absolute. Amen. So, Abraham believed God and called anything else that was contrary to the word of God as it is a lie. So, Abraham did not live by anything that was a shadow, by anything that was an illusion, and something that was just maybe a glare. He lived on the truth. He lived. His life was derived from his faith. And his faith was derived from the revelation of God himself. So those are the true worshippers. When we come to that now, we are worshipping God. Not out of our own wisdom, but out of God revealing his word. And then that word has an impact upon our lives so much that we go against our better thinking. We go against our better judgment.
Amen.
But go by the judgment of the word of God.
Amen.
As we respect it, as Paul, you know, he says, God took or he desired the foolishness of the preaching of the gospel to bring salvation.
Amen.
Can you see? Because when we look at it from the other perspective, it's foolishness. But that is the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. We see Moses. Let's see what happened to Moses in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll just read from verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward, unto the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, can you see where Moses' faith came from? It came not from just what he heard. I want to believe Moses must have been taught. It must have been told him, you know, how he came about. And he had that knowledge. Yet here the Bible says it did not come by that accumulation of knowledge, but it came by faith. By faith he forsook the sins of Egypt. By faith he forsook the glory of Egypt. Because when he now had this revelation, which was the true revelation of the purpose of God, a true interpretation of the gospel that was preached to Abraham on that day, when God says, bring a heifer, bring a goat, bring those 2 birds, God says, of a surety, your children shall be in bondage 400 years, but I will deliver them with a mighty hand.
Amen.
Now, when Moses, when that was revealed to him, he could see the purpose of Christ in the people of Israel. So he forsook Egypt. But Egypt was glorious. It was now, it was the ruler of the world of that day. The glamour of Egypt, the strength of Egypt, what was Egypt was so great. Yet when Moses had seen the real thing, and then he looked at Egypt, you could see that was nothing. He could not treasure those treasures. He could not treasure the things of Egypt. Because by faith, which is the revelation, he had seen the truth of God. That's how now he could worship God in truth. Motivated by the truth. Led by the truth. So if you are led by the truth, you cannot be subjected to a false inspiration.
Amen.
To a false agitation. To a false desire.
Amen.
To a false ego. Because what is driving you is the truth.
Amen.
Can you see? You know, you can neutralize your vehicle when you are going down. You neutralize it and it goes fast. But when you are going up here, it has got to be by the power of the engine. Can you see?
Yeah.
It's not just circumstance. It's now the realization of science now. The theory of Newton or whoever, can you see? It's now in action. It's not just a maybe thing now. It's not just caused because of the gradient. No, it's caused by the forces and the powers of reality. Then it can go uphill. Can you see? So Moses forsook everything. It was falsehood to him. Can you see? He did not even desire to be esteemed the daughter, the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, because that was not what he was. Can you see? You cannot have pleasure in being given titles, in being esteemed high, in being esteemed glorious by men when you know deep down in your heart that you are not that. Faith brings us to who we are and what we should be and what we have got to do. We are not bluffed if it's a revelation. So true worshippers, they don't worship by some emotion. They worship by the true realization and the true revelation of the purpose of God in your life. Amen.
Amen.
If the truth is revealed to you, it doesn't matter what good you have done or what great things have come in your life, you will humble yourself.
Amen.
And ask for God's forgiveness.
Amen.
Because now you've come to the realization, you are not now judged by men. You are not being judged by people who esteem you as a good teacher, as a good preacher, as a good this, or a good that. You really know now who you are, because it has been revealed to you. Now starts the worshipping of God in truth.
Amen.
That's why it was not a lie that Goliath was a man of war. From his youth, he never dug in the garden. He was never trained in making clothes. From his youth, because of his body, because of how he looked, they just put him in the military academy. Can you see? They could see a warrior in Goliath because of his makeup. And from youth, that was his job. He was not a mechanic. He was nothing else. When he woke up in the morning, on his mind was war. He exercised for war. He lived for war. Even the type of food he was being fed, he was being fed to be a man of war. I think that's what the Japanese do for those big men. They are fed for that. You see? They are not just like everybody else. It's just for that. So was it. That's what they do also in Hollywood. You know, they scout for these actresses. They can just discern from a girl, little girl of 8 years, that this one can be an actress. And they groom that girl to be an actress. And it will be so. That's what they do in politics. They just look at the youngsters in the university. They can see this one can make it. They groom him from that age. So was it with Goliath. Until everybody, his step was the step of a warrior. His face was the face of a warrior. His build was the build of a warrior. And everybody in Israel looked at him and said, no, you cannot fight that man. But David, by faith, he could see the promise of God. One man shall chase 700. Can you see? He knew where he was standing. After all, that portion belonged to Judah. And Goliath was standing there and saying it belongs to him. That was a lie. And David could not believe that lie. He looked at the sword. He looked at the shield. He looked at the spear. He says, you are coming me with this thing. These things are not the truth. Because we are not here because we can fight. We are here because God spoke to Abraham.
Amen.
And says, I'll give you this land.
Amen.
That's why we are here.
Amen.
So by that faith, David called everything that was contrary as if it was not.
Amen.
And he took a sling that he used to shoot birds and killed Goliath. That is faith. That is revelation.
Amen.
It will take you from the realms of man. It will take you from the realms where man can walk. You can walk in spheres that man cannot walk.
Amen.
You are motivated. You are fueled. You are inspired by truth. Not just something you heard. Not imitating. Because if I see a preacher, I can imitate after him. Doesn't Brother Ram say, that's what people do. When their pastor, when he's praying, he does that. You see, everybody's doing that. You see? When the pastor, when he's walking, he just walks sideways like this. Everybody's walking sideways. Until Brother Ram says, I wonder if people have the Spirit of God or the Spirit, whether they have the Spirit of the apostle. Can you see? So this is imitation that we can get from man. But the truth will build a true Christian in you.
Amen.
It will bring the, you know, I don't care. You can reach realms where everybody is looking up to you. Everybody is praising you. But if you have not reached where God wants you to reach by revelation, you will not be satisfied.
Amen.
Can you see? Jesus was born according to the word. When he was a little babe, they came and when he was even before he was born, Elizabeth prophesied, the mother of my Savior is coming. He's come to me. Simeon took him when he was 8 days old and prophesied. Anna prophesied on him. Can you see? Everybody was looking up to him. At Jordan, John says, the Lamb of God. And the Spirit came upon him. But our Bible says, when he was perfected, then he became the author of our salvation. Which means he himself also had to go through some process to be perfect. Yet his birth was perfect. Can you see? His name was perfect. earlier to go, to fulfill the mind of God.
Amen.
This is what we need.
Amen.
We don't need just the appraisal of man. We don't need just, you know, our own feelings that, you know, I am this now, I can do this now, I am here now. No. We want the truth. And the truth can come from no man.
Amen.
It comes from God himself.
Amen.
Man can praise us. Man can give us names. Men can do whatever they can do to us. But as far as God is concerned, it must come from that revelation. And that revelation will bring nothing to you but the truth of who you are. And the truth of who God is. And the truth of the purpose of God in your life. So it says, true worshippers shall worship the Father. And when they worship, they don't worship him in illusions. They don't worship him in mirages. They worship him in truth. Because that's who he is. Amen. Because we have got this predicament, when we go to Book of Matthew, chapter 15. Book of Matthew, chapter 15. Let's just read verse 7, 8, and 9. Matthew 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, this is, you know, how it is when we draw to God, when we come to God in our own understanding, in our own perspective. The devil has got now a way of just coming in. Can you see? God gave Abraham a promise. But it came time when, you know, when Sarah thought it's impossible. And then he says, okay, you take Hagar and you have a child by her. And what was born was not a girl for that matter. A boy was born. Just as it was promised to Abraham that I'm going to give you a son, Hagar gave birth to a son. As if that is what God was pointing to. You see? So the devil could not attack Eve until the word of God had been given to Eve. Then he came and said, did God say? He was deriving from what God had already said. The enemy did not just go and plant seed on prepared ground. He says, the good man plowed his field and he sowed the seed. In the night, then the enemy came and sowed tares on a planted seedbed. So the devil, he does not come where there is not the word of God. But he says now, they worship God with their lips. When they speak in with their lips, they are speaking nothing but the truth. God is God. There is one God. Baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ. Preaching is not done by sisters. This, everything is truth. If you want to look at it with the human perspective. Yet, when God looks into it, there is no truth. And because there is no truth, then the devil also can come and plant his own ideas, his own things in there. That's why he says now, they teach for doctrine the commandments of men. I don't want to believe that the Pharisees were teaching anything that was outside the book of Moses. They read the scriptures. They read the prophets. Because the Bible says they read the prophet every day in the synagogue. They were reading exactly what Moses wrote. But without the revelation, it's the word of man.
Amen.
Because it is man who is reading. It's man who is saying it. God is not there. So if God is not there, he cannot come and back up what man has said. It has to be God.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Amen.
So, without the truth, we cannot worship in truth.
Amen.
We can speak true words. We can preach the true gospel. Yet, it is not truth. You remember the messenger that ran to tell the news? There were two. One was said, you go deliver the message. So he ran. Then another one said, I want you also run. But this one has been commissioned to go. Okay, you can go. And the one who had the desire to run with the message ran faster than the sent one. But when he came to deliver his message, he was told, stand aside until the one who is ordained to say it comes and say it.
Amen. Praise God.
It's the same message.
Amen.
Everything you look at it is just the same. But one was
Amen.
Authorized to do it,
Amen.
The other was not.
Amen.
Okay, that's the difference. That's why here Jesus says, you now teach the doctrines of man. Because it, everything is just coming from man. Who just saw it in the Bible? God is not there.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is not there.
Amen.
You see? But I can feel the Spirit in me. Yes, you can feel the Spirit in you because you are also a spirit being.
Yes.
That's why we have emotions. Can you see? There's a spirit in us which can be motivated. But that doesn't mean it's the truth.
Amen.
Can you see that?
Amen.
As we have seen that Jesus from chapter 3 of John, he was telling this woman, he was telling Nicodemus, it's not about knowledge, it's about the birth. The woman in chapter 4, it's not about the God of Jacob in the mountain and also in Jerusalem, but it's about worshipping God in truth. Can you see? And as you go on, there were just things unfolding. We come to chapter 8, there was this woman who was caught in adultery. And then Jesus says, he who has not sinned cast the first stone, and there was found none. And because of that, in chapter 8, Jews believed. Can you see? Why did they believe? They had seen an act of authority. They had seen an act that was above what humanity can do. Then they believed in him.
Amen.
And then Jesus spoke to those Jews who had believed in him and said, if you stay in my word, you shall know the truth.
Amen.
Can you see? He's always pointing to that reality. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
He's telling people who had believed. Isn't it that when we believe, we have come out of death into life? When we believe, we have come out of condemnation to acceptance. But those who had believed, why had they believed? They had seen this miracle. They had seen this act. But this conviction by this act cannot bring you into the realities of God. So he says, you stay in my word. And when you stay in my word, then you shall know. But we already know, we have seen this thing happening. We have seen the woman being pardoned. Yes, but that is not the true knowledge. Paul says it's not the wisdom or knowledge of the world, but it's the knowledge that comes from God. So you stay in my word.
Amen.
If you stay in my word, you shall know. It shall be revealed to you what truth is.
Amen.
Have you seen?
And when it is revealed to you what the truth is, you cannot be deceived then.
Amen.
By yourself.
Amen.
Or by some other person.
Amen.
You cannot be deceived by what looks like the truth. Abraham was not deceived by old age. He was not deceived by the deadness of Sarah's womb. He could not be deceived because he had seen it. Moses could not be deceived by the goodness of the wealth of Egypt because he had seen it. So Jesus invites them, come and stay in the way. It's good. You have believed. It's good.
Amen.
Even if I'm a preacher, it's good I'm a preacher, but I must stay there.
Amen.
So that I will know by the power of God.
Amen.
Doesn't the scripture say we preach in part?
Amen.
We prophesy in part?
Amen.
We know in part?
Amen.
Everything that we think we know is only in part.
Amen.
And we don't know what percentage for that matter.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you don't know. It doesn't mean I don't know. I know. But what percentage? Can you see? But if I stay and I be humble enough to stay there, then I will know the truth.
Amen.
And the truth will set me free from anything that has to do with my age. Can you see? You know, we are different. We come to God, we are different. Some of us are old people. I was talking with Brother Jimmy of my age and said, see where we are going now. We are just going there. So you can't compare my ambitions, you can't compare my vigor with Brother John. So is it in our Christian experience also? Our ages have got some influence upon our life. Can you see? So how much do I know? And at what age am I knowing this? Can you see? I was in his house the other day. You know, I noticed something in your house. All the walls are written.
Yes.
Why? Those small children, they think now I can write. Where do they go? They go to the wall.
Right.
Why are you doing this? You know, I can write now. Can you see? But it will come time when he will not write on the wall. You'll be a writer of a book, and you'll be a writer known worldwide. Not by writing on the wall. But because of age, he's writing on the wall. Because of my age, I think I know. Because of what I've seen, I think I can. Yet, we must come to the truth.
Amen.
Can you see? Stay in my word. You shall know the truth. Don't trouble yourself. Don't rush. And also, don't just stay in the back there. Come and be there in the battlefront and stay in your post of duty.
Amen.
Can you see? If you are one who is to throw the arrows, stay in that post of duty. Throw as many arrows as you can.
Amen.
If you are the one with the sword, go and fight with the sword as much as you can. If you are the one with the spear, go and use your spear. If you are the one throwing stones, throw! But just stay there.
Amen.
The truth will dawn on you someday.
Amen.
Because if the Son of God had to be made perfect, how much more me?
Amen.
As much as I know, as much as I can preach, as much as I can teach, I'm not greater than him.
Amen.
I want to stay there. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You know, because you can see even Paul, you know, in ignorance, he was very vigorous in doing the things of God. He thought he was doing right. He gave his life for that. He gave his time for that. He gave his everything. But one day, the light shined on him. When the truth shined on him, he forsook everything else.
Amen.
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 Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what does this truth now do to us? Let's just, in closing, go to this second book of Corinthians in chapter 4. Second book of Corinthians, chapter 4,
We'll start from verse 1, and maybe just verse 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not,
Amen.
But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God.
Amen.
We are not here just preaching the truth, teaching the truth. You see, Paul says we are here manifesting the truth.
Amen.
You see, you put a seed in the ground, you leave it there, you water it, what will it do? It will manifest life. Can you see? But before you put it in there, you can read what is written on the packet where the seed was. This seed is drought tolerant, this seed is disease tolerant, this seed is this seed is that, this seed is that. Yes, it can be written, but we don't want the words that are written on the packet. We want the manifestation of the seed. Can you see that? So here, we have been called to a ministry. We have been called to a place where we must mellow in the Word of God until the truth is manifest in us. Can you see? There must be that manifestation which comes from the life that is dedicated to God. As the scripture says, those who worship must worship in truth and in the spirit.
Amen.
The spirit will bring forth the very life of the seed.
Amen.
And the truth will manifest the reality and even the truth of the spirit. Because the spirit can come, but what spirit is it? Can you see? When the spirit of the prophets came in the days of Ahab, they came as prophets and they prophesied. You see? But there was a truth which had to be manifested. So this is our desire. As we stay in the Word, as we stay in that which is true, until the truth will be manifest in us. Then, and only then, can we come in true repentance.
Amen.
If I was wrong, I'll say, I'm sorry I was wrong. If I was blind, I can say, I was blind, but now I see. Why? Because I've come into the light of the truth.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. That's the greatest among us, and he who is the lowest among us. What we need is just to come and stay and mellow
Amen.
In that word of truth, in that presence of truth, in that spirit of truth. We are rushing nowhere. We need not rush. Can you see? Because when they came to Jesus on that day, they were just rushing. They just came and said, okay, now we have come, now we have come. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. You stay in my word. You are telling us to stay in the word. Why? Then you shall know the truth. How does we know the truth that there is only one God? Yes. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Oh, free from what? We are the sons of Abraham. We were not born in bondage. We are the disciples of Moses. We worship Jehovah, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says, no. Stay until you come to the fruition. Amen.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, these people who were calling themselves the sons of Abraham, the disciples of Moses, the worshippers of God, Jesus then later told them in verse 44 of chapter 8, he says, you are of your father, the devil. But they were not saying we are sons of Abraham by manifesting or by doing sinful things. They were very religious. But what we need, brothers and sisters, is to worship God in truth.
Amen.
In the simplicity of truth.
Amen.
And truth, you know, is just like the life in a seed. Amen.
Amen.
It will manifest. Because it's truth. I was walking on the walkways here. You know, you've got beautiful walkways. Some are tarred, some are paved. But when you go to Genesis chapter 1, God says, let the earth bring forth grass. And we have come with our tar and put it there. And the grass can come up. But let it stay for a time. You see grass coming up. Let the tar crack, you see grass coming up. In between the pavings, you see grass coming up. That is true word of God.
Amen.
You can suppress it, but because it was spoken by God, it will still come out.
Amen.
That's what I need.
Amen.
If God wrote my name in the book of life, if God called me before the foundation of the world, if I can just stay there, they can put tar on me, they can put paving on me, they can put even a building on me, yet it will come to pass.
Amen.
God will make a way.
Amen.
For me to come up.
Amen.
I won't stay there forever.
Amen.
Because I am the spoken word of God.
Amen.
That's who you are, my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You are not here just because there's an opportunity. You are here because God thought it and He spoke it.
Amen.
And it's filled in heaven.
Amen.
Nothing can stand in your way.
Amen.
Nothing can disturb you. You are the truth of the mind of God. And you are being manifested to walk in that truth, to manifest that truth, bringing down all the strongholds of Satan, all the deception, all the corruption, everything that is against, we bring it down.
Amen.
And we stand in the truth of God.
Amen.
Well, we just want to thank God. We just want to praise God for what He has done for us by calling us into this marvelous light.
Amen.
May God bless you. Bless you, brother.
Amen.